attend. Everyone do their job, and we'll be okay. The problem is when people...
There were like 50 guys there.
Yeah, there's no need to be there.
I said to Sal, I think I'm going to go to Westfield because there's so many people.
Yeah, there's no need. And it's the same. Like in the morning, same thing. They're going to have a minion. They're going to have a minion. So
they're about to be okay too, huh?
They'll have other people. Okay, anyway, we're continuing in the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chav Gimel, Halacha Vov. And that is chapter 23, law 6, pages 204, 205. We're dealing with other rabbinic prohibitions. You can just look in with me here. So, the other rabbinic prohibitions that lead to Makkah B'Paptish. Vav. Ein choytchin shvoferesh shalkana. You don't cut the end of a reed. Reeds are hollow inside. You cut it out to make it like a straw. And then what do? If you look in the picture you have over there, you stick it right into the barrel, and that becomes your juice box, whatever.
Juice box drink,
right?
It's like the holes there where they're covered up.
Right. If neishu kemisake and kli, it's like you're repairing the utensil, and that's why you can't do that. On the other hand, hoisa chatucha, if it was ready cut, afal pi she'enim esukenis, even though it wasn't smoothed out and made proper, that still mutalach nisa beneka fachavis for Shabbos. You can put it into the hole of the barrel on Shabbos. Lots menu yain to take wine out. Vechoshin shami yisai. You don't have to worry. Maybe you're going to repair it. That's not finishing the barrel. The barrel has been completed. Question is, if you're making the reed that's closed on both ends, you have to cut the ends to make it opening. That finishes the reed, which now will go into the barrel. But if the reed is already cut, so okay, it might be jagged, but it still can go into the barrel as is. We allow you to put it into the barrel because that doesn't make the barrel into a kli. The barrel is already a kli. Just makes you able to get the juice out, whatever, the wine out. So that's okay. We're not concerned that you will fix the reed.
Didn't we say it had to be a hole that was already sort of plugged or something?
Well, it could have to be
plugged. How would you get the reed in there?
So you could have something that was already covered and you're putting in ways it was permitted before. It would have to do with ways
it was permitted. But I'm thinking about like the milk bag. Didn't we say you can't cut it on Shabbos and open it that way?
Oh, spout.
Okay, so we're obviously speaking where the barrel, there are no problems with the barrel's hole. Either there's already a hole in the barrel.
Okay.
That's a simple answer. There's a hole in the barrel already.
Okay.
And then you want to put wine in afterwards, whatever.
Okay.
Here comes an interesting halacha. Well, before we get to halacha, I'll ask you the case. They you have a wine bottle, right? So they sell these things that you can... I'm trying to describe it. What's the word? It's like very flexible, like not aluminum, but it's not like paper. It's like stronger.
It's corrugated.
Than that. Not corrugated. It's more like plastic.
What do you use?
Plastic. I'm going to get to it.
What do you use?
So these things are they're like a circle, and then you do it like this, and you put it into the bottle hole, so it makes it a nice spout to pour out.
Oh. Okay, got it. Okay.
You know, I don't know. There must be an easy term to describe what I just said.
It's a pour. It's an. It's
but
a, it's
but
a
it's very
spout.
So you have good old fashioned spouts, a whole spout. That's where you may just put it is one thing. Well, they sell these little things. It's like plastic, a shiny plastic, almost like metallic looking, and it's flexible, so you can just bend it. So let's say this is the thing, and you cup it. And you just put it right on top of the wine.
It fits into the open bottle
of the wine when you pour the wine. It makes so it doesn't drip out.
It doesn't drip
out. So it makes it a spot. Question is, can you do that on Shabbos?
Because you're the flexible part? Is that what's the issue?
Yeah, can you make the flexible part flexible and now put it into the top of the bottle of wine in order to now create a spout to be able to pour the wine in a way that it shouldn't drip out?
Well, they have many spouts that you just pop in there that have... They have a little cone that goes to the pots, and you pop.
It's more like a wine.
I'm not talking about
it.
That's already a spout.
That's
already a spout. Here you're making a spout. So to my mind, I think that's the exact case the Rambam is going to talk about right now, and there'll be others who argue on the Rambam. But to my mind, I think this is the case. So let's see. Va'osur laniach oleh shel hadas. You can't take a myrtle leaf. Now, it's got to be a pretty big, not like the little hadassim. Sure, you must be a good svat of variety. We have bigger leaves. And you can't put it, or similarly, betoch hanekev shel chavis, into the hole of a barrel. Kideshi kalachas of wine, so the wine will pour out. It's like you're making a faucet on Shabbos. So to my mind, that's mamish the case, isn't it?
It's rolling up a piece of paper.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. But because you rolling it, stamosay doesn't do anything. But when you're putting it into the hole, that is making it into a spout. So it's exactly a spout. However, that's a Gemara that says. So the Rambam is saying the reason it's usher is for that. The Rush says the reason it's usher is a different reason altogether. We're afraid if you use the hadas leaf once, we're afraid you may cut another hadas leaf to use it again. We only could use one that's been cut off already. But once you're using hadas leaf, then this time you use it. It's not because of making the faucet, but maintains that you might cut off another one. And therefore, if you have other ones, it will be permitted. So then the metallic thing, you're not going to cut off another metallic thing from a tree. So hadas you couldn't use, but maybe a metallic thing you can. So it seems, when you look at the Mefarshim over here, so the Shulchan Aruch backs up the Rambam's ruling, and therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it says the reason you can't do it is because you're making it into a spout. But the Ramah goes with the Rush's view and says the problem is because you may pluck the hadas. So we'll choyr up your machlokas to Sfardim and Ashkenazim if you could do it. So the Rambam and the Sfardim and the Shulchan say you couldn't do it, while the Rush and Ashkenazim would say that you could do it. That would have, I couldn't, I was looking in these form and nobody,
there's nobody there.
I mean, it could be it's buried in here somewhere, but I looked through it. It wasn't there. So to my mind, I mean, choyr, it would be okay. If you're going with the Rush and the Ramah, Paskins like them, the only issue is, you know, you couldn't use a leaf for that. But this metallic thing, you L'chaira would be able to use it.
So according to the Ramah, it'll be a problem to use this flexible?
Yeah, according to Ramah. Flexible. That's right. To my mind, it's the case of the leaf.
But it's not the leaves. Like, what's the...
You're making it into a faucet. You're making a faucet. It's mamish making a faucet.
Cut another leaf.
That's according to the Rush, not according to the Rambam. The Rambam says it's because you're making it. It's like a faucet. Okay. Yeah. The Rambam says it's like a faucet. Ka'osim marzev b'shabbos.
They both agree you can't do it.
The Rush says it's because it's the leaf, and you might cut off another leaf. So that's wouldn't apply in a case where you're using a metallic piece like that. So L'chayr would be telling that. Maybe one day we'll see some modern posts deal with this issue.
Just like a small, not a flexible, just like, you know, a plastic thing that you split.
But still, you're making it into a spout.
Mm-hmm. So how is that different than some of the straws are corrugated where they're flexible and you can bend them over?
But that's just a straw. That's not a spout. That's a straw.
The part that goes in is straight.
Nobody's pouring out a straw. Doing that.
You're drinking with it. That's not a spout.
Right.
That's not a spout. It's not a very effective way to turn it upside down and have Wolfie go through that.
No, it happens accidentally.
Kids are doing it.
And you see the Rambam says.
Unsuccessfully.
Rambam says you could do that. Says you could stick the reed in.
Yeah.
That's for sure saying you can.
And that's even to have stuff come out because not a spout. That's not a spout.
Is the problem that we're completing the bottle? Is this back to the
You're making a spout. You're making a spout. That is an adding.
You use the milk container. You're making a spout.
That's why you can't do that either.
Like a milk container.
Right? A spout.
Well, when you cut the bag, you're not making a spout. You're just opening the bag.
But you're enabling it now to be functioning.
Right.
And now it's able to function. As you finished the bag. Now it's usable.
It's on our checklist for doing before Shabbos.
Okay. Good. So that was that halacha. We move up. I'm still not finished. A little bit more involved. Almost finished it. But one more little line there. You can't break earthenware. You don't rip up paper. It's like you're going to be fixing up a utensil. What is going on over there? So the Mefarshim explained the case we're speaking about. It seems that when they would fry fish, they would cut various things, either reeds or earthenware or pieces of paper. They'd soak them in water and they'd put them on top of the stove in between the metal pan or the metal and the fish, just between the metal where the fire is coming out and the fish. So you don't want the fish to burn. So you're putting something in between so it won't burn. So
paper would stop it from burning?
But they soak it. I guess it's a kind of a paper that's soaked. It'd be similar, let's say, to using parchment paper to make sure that challahs don't burn or things like that. Similar thing like that. So that is, we'd be fixing up the utensil. Because you'd enable the fish to be fried without burning. Okay, so therefore you couldn't cut these things to these ways to finish that.
Would the Rambam apply that to any pieces of paper or just like soaked pieces of paper?
I guess when you're using it for cooking purposes. Now again, now even though you're not going to be cooking on Shabbos, maybe on Yontif you would be, whatever, but you couldn't do that on Shabbos. Okay, Zion. Zmeira. A vine, a long vine, shikshura b'tafiach, that is tied up to a small pitcher before Shabbos. Let's say you want to lower it into the well to take some water out, so you don't have a good strong rope. So you take vine could be very strong, tie it around the pitcher to lower it down. It's all been tied before, other way. So I'm going to tie it before Shabbos.
So is the pitcher, or this is
it's vine tied up. It's tied up.
But the vine has been detached from the
before
ground.
Before Shabbos.
Detached from the ground, the vine's been detached.
Yeah, why not? What's the problem?
Because vines cannot be attached to one end. You have one end that's...
No, then you couldn't. That'd be muks already.
Okay, so it's detached.
I assumed it's detached. I didn't even assume it wasn't detached. Otherwise, there'd be other problems.
Okay.
Right? We're afraid you'd cut it off. It'd
right.
be muksa.
Sure.
So I'm assuming it's cut off. Because you'll see the problem is later on. So mamali with Shabbos, you can fill it up with Shabbos. You take the vine that is already attached to this pitcher, lower it down, and fill up water. That you can do on Shabbos. Ve'im, one second. Okay, good. Ve'im ain't sure. What if it wasn't tied? Then ain mamali. Then you can't fill up the pitcher. In other words, attach it and then fill up. Because once you're ready, have to attach it. Gzeir afraid shema yiktim oisot. You may trim the vine and adjust it because, you know, if it's tied, you already dealt with it. But you haven't tied it, now you try to tie it, and the thickness of the vine might be hard to make a knot or whatever. There's other issues. You can't make a knot, but let's assume you're tying it with a slip knot, a chvase. But once you're dealing with the vine and it hasn't been attached yet, you may come and fix it up, and that would certainly be makabah patish. You'd be finishing off the utensil, and that would be awesome.
Rabbi, further to Martin's question, though, I mean, if it was unattached, we said it has to be not attached to the ground. Can't you argue the same as a myrtle leaf? If you start doing it when it's not attached to the ground, you'll come next time to use one that was attached to the ground?
Well, the Rambam will have no problem with that because he doesn't hold that that's the problem with the myrtle leaf.
Right.
The rush holds its problem with
the myrtle
leaf.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So
okay, fair enough.
So that's not a problem.
Okay, all right. I understand.
How the rush would learn that, I don't know.
Right.
Maybe he wouldn't allow that. I don't know.
Isn't a bigger issue, forget about trimming the branch, isn't a bigger issue that we're making a new utensil by tying the two together? Because you can't get the water just with a cup.
That's not a new utensil.
Well, you're making something new by once you tie the two together.
Well, no, the utensil is the pitcher that's drawing the water. It's still drawing the water. You haven't done anything.
You're making it useful by that's the whole thing.
Yeah, well,
but it's
no,
not trimming. We're talking about you're making something useful that you can use that's new. Each on its own can't draw the water. Obviously, you need the branch to be able to reach into.
No, it's doing it on Shabbos. Saying you can't do it on Shabbos.
So I'm just saying you're making it some kind of utensil of the two pieces.
Well, maybe that could also be a problem, but it's going to be a problem before you attach it.
That's a bigger issue than you might trim.
But isn't it tied to cup before Shabbos?
Yeah.
No, if it's tied before Shabbos, you can use it. There's two cases. First case is it's tied already before Shabbos. You're not doing anything to it. Then you use it. The second case is you've got a vine, you've got a pitcher. Now you want to attach it in a way, let's say you're not doing tying. Let's say tying is not a problem. So Shelley's asking, is that not making it a utensil now?
A usable utensil.
I don't know, because it is already been a usable utensil. I can use that pitcher, and if there's water nearby, I can take it already. The pitcher is useful. I'm just making it easier to use that pitcher. That's all I'm doing. I haven't really changed the utensil.
But if you could have done that, you wouldn't tie it together.
What?
If you could do it.
Yeah, but I'm not making the pitcher any better of a pitcher. It's not like I'm making a spout of the pitcher. You're making yourself have a longer hand.
Yeah.
That's what it really is. Right. So that's not fixing the utensil. That utensil inherently can still take water no matter what. You're just making it easier on the owner, that he doesn't have to go all the way down into the well. That's all. So I guess the Rambam holds that's not called finishing up
the utensil. The Rambam says the reason you can't attach it is you may come to take off vines or stuff like that.
And that would make the vine, fix the vine to become a useful rope.
Let's say the vine had all the leaves taken off of it.
Okay, then probably make a gzeira. They'd probably make a gzeira if the person takes another vine that doesn't have. I would imagine.
Because he's saying.
Because usually vines need to get trimmed.
Right, 100%.
That would already be similar to the leaf.
Right.
Because he says below, when he talks about the rosh, below the line on the leaf, he says that's in a case where it's not, but where there's many leaves detached, it says the rosh would agree that that would be okay to do. Look at Lamed Gimel.
Right. Not Lamed Gimel.
I think it's Lamed Gimel below the line.
No, it's not
Lamed Gimel. Shinonim
Alekab.
Okay, look at Lamed
Dalet. I apologize, Lamed Dalet. No, you left it. Makom Shesh in a place we have a lot of detached ones. So, I don't know. So, I don't know what to say.
Okay.
I don't answer that.
Let's go to the next one.
Okay. I was more focused on the next ones that are much more...
Okay.
I didn't, I don't know if anybody would ever do this. I didn't, like, spend a lot of time thinking about it.
Someone would take a rope and, like...
A rope's already finished. That's not a problem. You're not going
to... No, but tie it to the bucket, but if tied in a way that's permissible.
So that would be all right.
Yeah.
That would seem from this, it's all right, because that's not a problem.
You could drop it
as if we're going to the well, right?
Anyway.
Okay, that's good. Everything's Torah. You have to know Torah. Okay, next case. Again, I'm not so familiar. I mean, we don't do this at all, so... Aser lachuf clay kesef b'girei sikon. We can't polish silver utensils with gray sikon. Gray sikon is a type of a white mud or whatever that they use to polish silver, like really polish, like when you're finishing making, like when coming out of the factory kind of polish. Mm. Okay, so if you have at home some of this gray sikon, you can't polish your silver that white. Neshu melabnum kider shom nimoisim. You're whitening, making it clear the way they do it, and the craftsmen do it. That's the professional way of polishing, right? It looks like you're fixing up. You are fixing up the utensil. Yeah. Finishing on Shabbos. Okay, now the next level, I'm not clear about. I don't know, polish is polish, you know.
Though,
no, but
you don't want to use a yucky looking utensil. You know, just like, for example, we learned, what if you have rust on a pot? You gotta clean off rust on Shabbos. The postman say you cannot clean rust off on Shabbos. Because people do not use rusty pots. I'm not talking about one little speck of rust. I'm talking about a real rusty pot. Would you use it?
No.
Even on the outside is rusty. You don't want to see, it looks yucky. So you want it to look nice. Before it's finished, you know, and it's not polished, people like, it looks ugly, whatever. Yeah. And people won't want to use it.
So
what if you paint? What if you paint the outside of a pot?
I think you can.
It's going to be, it's going to be a mock of a pot dish. You know, you can use it anyway, right? So that's the same idea. You really couldn't, you don't use a pot that's not shining. You know, the utensil usually, it has to be shiny. That's, you don't let it out of, what about a car? You're going to sell a car without painting it? Yeah. You paint it, you know, you have to look, that's a nice car. You're gonna buy a pot without the little yellow, paint over the enamel on the side. Everybody, you know, if you had a pot the way it was originally, yuck, nobody would want it. So you were shining it up. So that is the finishing of the kli. Because Pearson wants to have a shiny kli. But there seems to be another way of doing it, which I'm not at all familiar. But you can polish it with sand and with neser. It's another type of a dirt that's very sharp, has sharp salt in it, whatever, and you take different things out. Then, so in the English talks about this and says that he brings down that it's called natrium in Latin. Sodium is called natrium in Latin. Something, it's talking about sodium bicarbonate.
Baking soda.
Which is a natural cleanser.
That's baking soda.
So baking soda would be okay if you want to learn like these people. Baking soda would be okay. Real good polish would not be okay.
Right.
What about, you know?
So I guess, you know, I don't see the difference. I guess it's not a professional way of cleaning it with baking. I wonder what happened if you took your silver and cleaned it with baking soda. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe it could take off maybe a little bit of the dirt, but it wouldn't make it shine. So then it would be all right. I mean, but I think the stuff we have really makes it shine really good. So yeah. I would assume, there'd be all other kinds of isurim. You'd be smearing it, and there'd be all kinds of other isurim.
Polishing in itself, no matter what you use, is an issue.
Right, so I guess he's saying in a way to do it where there aren't other malachas. I guess, you know.
If you use dishwashing liquid, like liquid with the brush thing.
That's just washing a dish.
Right. So, but if you did that with a baking soda, maybe it would be the same.
Okay, so that's
just
a cleaner.
I don't know,
chemical reaction.
What about, there's like a hand, there's like a glove you put on, you do it like that?
I'm saying, to me, it would seem, you know, and again, for some reason, I couldn't find it in any of these books. Polishing. Because I just assume you can't do it and finish, you know. Again, it's like, who would polish the silver on Shabbos? Like, you know.
Yeah, we
don't. So anyway, so that's another one of these issues. Okay, fine. And then the next line also I don't understand. V'chein kol ha-kelim chayfin oso b'chol dover. And any other utensil you can polish with anything else. So again, I it must be a low grade kind of polish that's not really polishing the way we do. Otherwise, I don't understand.
Polish polish.
Okay, now we come to halacha. Come to halacha that is very relevant coming up now. You're forbidden to wash, regular washing, plates and ilfasim. Ilfasim are frying pans. And basically the Rambam is saying you can't wash dishes on Shabbos. We'll explain in a minute. It's like he is repairing. What do you mean repairing? Meaning to say, for the weekdays. In other words, let's say you have pots you use Friday night. You're certainly allowed to wash them so you could use it for Shabbos morning.
In cold water.
And whatever you use for the Shabbos morning meal, certainly you could wash if you need it for the afternoon. And in the afternoon, you know, even if you need it for after mincha, that's fine. But after mincha time, the Gemara says, I mean, like after shal shudas, you could not wash it because clearly if you're washing after shal shudas, it's for after Shabbos. So that's the general rule he's saying, is that you cannot wash dishes on Shabbos because you are now making the dish, fixed up. And really it's more than just masakein, it's fixing up for the weekdays, which is really more hachana, preparation for the weekdays. It's interesting why the Rambam is putting this halacha in the halachas of makah b'patish. Again, it's not really makah b'patish. The utensil is operable. Can you use a dirty utensil? I wouldn't say washing the utensil is finishing the final blow on the, but it's making it usable. But it's really, the real problem is, because now you're preparing for the weekday, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. We'll discuss a few more issues in a minute. So now, so you can't do that. Elim Cain, unless, as he says, Hadichon lecha l'sud acher supposed to Shabbos, unless you're washing him to eat another meal on Shabbos. Avoklesia, however, drinking utensils, where people drink a lot, kigon kosos v'kitonot, cups and pitchers, you can wash them all the time. There's no set time for drinking. In other words, meals are set. Drinking, you might want to drink even after, if you had an early shalosh shudas, you might be thirsty half an hour after that. So you could wash out a cup because you want to have cups ready to drink. Okay, similar type of halacha. You don't make your bed on Shabbos in order to sleep on them on Matzi Shabbos. You can make the bed Friday night, or let's Friday morning, you know, for Saturday morning. Well, it says milele Shabbos l'Shabbos, from Friday night for Shabbos. Let's say you finish sleeping Friday night, and you're a more intense sleeper, and you're going to do a little more schluffing in the day, you can certainly make the bed for that, because you're not preparing for after Yontif. Now, let's see which Sefer's got the right thing here. Okay, let's see. This swimming on Shabbos, we don't want that. That was the old one. One second. Oh, this is the other halacha. Sorry. That's the next one. I prepared a lot. Okay. So basically, he says like this. Everything we said in the Rambam is already correct. So really, you can't wash anything that you know is going to be for after Shabbos, right? So what's the most applicable thing? Is you can, certainly, if you eat shalosh shudas in your house, you cannot clean the table after shalosh shudas, unless you really plan to use that table on Shabbos. But to clean it all up, so it's going to be for after Shabbos, no work to do, that you cannot do. On the other hand, so let's say you have certain pots and pans that you're not going to use the pot for the next meal. So you had pot and a chicken, you finished the chicken. No chicken left. The pot's there. It's a dirty pot. What are you going to do? Can you wash such a pot? So some say what you can do is you can put the pot in a tub of water to soak. So to prevent it from the residue building up that gets really sticky and hard, it's going to take you 10 times longer to do it after Shabbos. It's interesting. They say that this is not preparing for after Shabbos.
You're not making
some posting. They say this constitutes a type of like a loss preventative measure. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm not preparing for other Shabbos. I just don't want it to be 10 times harder after Shabbos. I'm not washing it. It should be clean for after Shabbos. Right. I know if it's going to dry and stick in there, it could take me 10 times longer to do it. I don't want to do that. Some allow that. Other posts can seriously question this and say that it mamish should be usur. So, but there is a way out of this. Just put the dirty dishes in an empty tub in the sink and just use the sink regular.
Yeah, eventually it'll fill up with,
you know, whatever. You want to wash your hands, you want to wash something else, you're allowed to wash, and the thing gets full. And that's an easy way out of the predicament.
Can you take it out, put another one in there?
Well, if it's taking up space, again, it has to be within reason. Okay, it has to be within reason.
So they're saying you normally just...
I mean, the best way, if you're really worried about this, the best thing is you have a whole tub, the tub filled with hot water before Shabbos, is hot, soapy water. And then, when you're ready to put dishes in, you start putting dishes in. You're allowed to put that pot away. You're allowed to put the pot away. We're going to leave it sitting right on the kitchen, on the stove top there. No. You're allowed to put it away. So I want to put it away in the tub there.
Are you allowed to put dirty dishes in the dishwasher?
Oh, so they talk about that. So under certain conditions, you may. There's
no lights coming on.
There's no
electronics.
So it's like you have to make sure that you're taking one at a time. Yeah. Which you can't wash them all, and now you're doing borer from what you've washed. You have one, you put it in. And you're not like resetting and readjusting that I've got the... You're just putting it. If it just happens to be, you put the big plates by the big plates, that's fine. But if you say, no, I don't like this way I put it in, I'm going to readjust, that you can't do. And as long as you're just putting it away. I mean, you know...
You're allowed to rinse them first?
So it's different. Again, based on this opinion here, these poskim would allow you to do it. Yeah. Because then you don't want to get so sticky afterwards. And you might not want, you know... I mean, you used to be a heter... They want things to smell, but I don't think it would smell if it gets into the thing. But you have poskim to rely on if you want to use it as a loss preventive measure that you don't want the stuff to, because it probably will not clean in the dishwasher after Shabbos if you let it stick on, especially cholent and all that nice stuff there. So you're rinsing it off, then there would be some opinions to rely on, and then just put it away into the dishwasher.
What is the rationale also?
I'm just talking about dishwashers.
No, but what does he say about the rinsing off? Like, if you would just have a pot, and let's say you just put a little water into that.
I don't think he talks about that. Okay. I don't see that case. So, again, so you have poskim to rely on. I'm not saying it's the majority, but if you want to rinse it off and put it into the dishwasher, you certainly have opinions to rely on.
It's the rationale.
And again, people don't want to have their house look like a mess. All right? So you want to be able to put it, you know. That's why those will allow you to wash the dishes even Shabbos in the day, even though you're not going to plan to use it on Shalosh Shudas, because the kitchen will look a mess. It depends a lot on the type of person that you are. And for you, you know, you want profile. The kitchen. Yeah, it's your profile. And you don't want, like, where are you going to put all this stuff?
A lot of stuff.
It's got to go somewhere. You know, let's say you're still going to be in the dining room for the rest of Shabbos. You got to clear the dining room. You got to put it somewhere. There's not a lot of places to put things, right? And if it really bothers you to have the stuff lying around, you know, and in the summertime, let's say it smells, and the kitchen will smell, then if you want that so your house will look nice for Shabbos. But you see, it's tricky because you can't do it because you really just don't want to spend 2 hours washing the dishes, Motzei Shabbos.
No.
That's clearly not allowed. So that's like for all these things, tidying up a room, making the bed, all these things that all fall in that category. Why are you making the bed Shabbos morning? Well, I like to have a nice, I want the room to be nice for Shabbos.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. But if really you're saying, well, I just don't have to make the bed Motzei Shabbos, you can't do that. Or, you know, tidying up the room, or things like that. You know, I don't like a messy room. I mean, certain people do not like a messy house. So then I don't like it. It's messy. Other people don't care. So again, it has to fit to the type of person you are. If you really don't care that the room is messy, but you're saying, I don't want to do it. I'm doing it now because I don't want to spend 2 hours cleaning a bunch of Shabbos. Clearly, you cannot do that. So those are the issues with that. Interesting, while we're on the topic, how about can you take a nap on Shabbos afternoon? Because you're planning to be up late, Motzei Shabbos. Right? So it's the truth. I mean, I'm going according to the letter of the law, not the spirit now. Right? So you could take a nap on Shabbos afternoon with the silent intention of catching up on your sleep for the following week. Because Lamaisa, sleeping is also a present Shabbos-related enjoyment. Is there? There are people who do like to sleep, yeah, right? No. So it is a present. But you cannot say.
I didn't say this two or three weeks ago.
I said, according to the letter of the law, I said the letter of the law. I didn't say the spirit of the law. But you for sure cannot say, I am sleeping now because I have a big night tonight and I have to have a lot of koyach for that. That you could for surely not do that.
But if you're going to say, I want to study late, let's say I want to study really late into the night.
Better not to say anything.
So better just to keep your mouth shut.
Right. Again, with the glasses, even though the Rambam says you can wash glasses even later on, but if you know for sure you're not going to use glasses, you shouldn't wear glasses. So I would say you have enough leniencies to really clean the Friday night table. I mean, in our house, what we usually do is we have dishes Friday night. We wash the dishes. We can rinse them off, put them away, and then Shabbos lunch, then usually that fills the dishwasher. So there's nothing to talk about. The next day we have paper goods, just throw it out anyway. Yeah. So it's not an issue.
So, but is there a problem with challah shooters throwing out their paper goods?
Not until
us. Us, we shouldn't really. No. Right. So there's two minyanim. If you're davening, I saw. If you're davening in this room. And you don't want to daven, you don't feel it's covetic to daven in a room with food all over.
Like we used to behind the beer store.
Right, so I was machmir on that, but I'm saying, but if there's a leniency, if you say, I don't want to daven with the paper cups all over the place. I want to clean the room because I don't want to daven in a place that looks a mess.
It's not covetic. It's not covetic.
So that you could do. Okay. But if we're going into the other room, so you shouldn't be putting anything away. We're davening in the other room anyway.
But your time you're going to the other room, Shabbos is long since over.
Not for us.
Right, okay. Well, until you make Avdol, you have to say Baruch HaMavdol. Let's see.
So the women in here could say Baruch HaMavdol.
But I'm saying, should we clean before we go over there? No, we should leave it.
And that's why the women have to do it. Right. You understand? Because we didn't make
Avdol. It's for halachic reasons, not for this reason.
We didn't say Avdol.
No, but you could do, any man could do Baruch HaMavdol.
If you say Baruch HaMavdol, they could
clean as much as they want before they go to daven.
That's true.
And they can remove their plate to do and that. Put it in the garbage can because it's long after
Rabbi. This is a problem for like yesterday's lunch. I mean, we had no choice. We have to clean the room. We can't leave it a mess.
Well, that we have to do because they don't want us to leave such a mess. That's why we clean up other things. Why is he clean up? Because our permit is over. Our permit is over at 2 o'clock, and we can't leave stuff around.
Well, we're not doing it so we can use the room after Shabbos. We're not using the room after Shabbos.
But we don't have a permit. We can't leave that kind of mess.
No, but what I'm saying is the whole prohibition is that you're not preparing for after Shabbos.
So
we're not preparing for after Shabbos. We don't have access to that after Shabbos.
That's right. The permit's over at 2 o'clock, right, so we've got to have it clean by 2 o'clock.
We're preparing it for
on
Shabbos.
We're not preparing for nothing. We have to leave it clean, finished.
Which is still on Shabbos.
That's what your permit is for. Right, and therefore I'm not cleaning for after Shabbos. I'm cleaning because we have to leave it clean. So that's what we're allowed to do it. Okay, Shkoyach, gentlemen.